And welcome to Drive Through HR, a hub for discussion of groundbreaking ideas, trends, and activities impacting HR, talent, HR technology, and the workplace. Our focus is on expanding knowledge and igniting curiosity as we hear from people who are shaping the future of our industry. Here to navigate you through today's discussion, you have me, Robin Schooling, along with my co-host, Michael Vandervoort. Hey, Mike.
Hello, Robin. First official co-hosted show of 2024, right?
Yes.
And a new surprise opening as well. Well done.
Yes, exactly. I mean, you know, it's starting the year off with a twist, I guess. What are we in year 15 or whatever of the show?
Yeah. It's been a minute.
Mm-hmm. And we're navigating through cold and ice and snow, and we had little. I'm using air quotes, snow in Baton Rouge the other day as well. So like little chunks of ice and snow on the ground. It was city shut down, all that.
Yeah, it's the same here. I'm working from home today because we had a quarter inch of ice and some snow flurries. And as you know, Robin, you went through this just a week ago down in Baton Rouge, right?
Mm-hmm.
When in the South, even though Oklahoma's kind of Midwestern, I guess, but when you're hilly and in the South, everything closes down. Whereas like where Tracy lives, the weather doesn't stop anything from happening. So it's, by the way, we don't edit Tracy. So that'll be in there.
My grandmother used to call me Stacy. So
yeah.
No,
sorry.
No,
I don't know where that came from,
all.
But yeah, it's still rusty from taking the Christmas break, I guess. So
right?
Anyway,
exactly.
Yeah. So anyway, we're shut down today, at least until noon or so, they say, until it warms up over 32 and hopefully things melt. We'll see.
Yep. Well, speaking of our guest and up there in the lovely, always cold in my mind, northeast of the U.S., let's welcome our guest. And we are just absolutely thrilled to have her here with us today. So welcome, Tracy Spottenberg.
Thank you very much, Robin and Michael. I'm honored. I'm super excited to be your I think, first guest of 2024, right? Sounds like.
Yes.
Our joint show. Yep.
All right.
Yep. It's a wonderful way to start. So as we launch into today's episode, for our listeners who are not familiar with us, why don't you give us a brief rundown? Tell us about yourself, what you've done, what you're doing now, the flavor of Tracy.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. I'm going to use that, I think. I am an HR lifer, I guess. I was that weird kid who knew what they wanted to do. And I've made my career working like I like to say, as a business professional specializing in people, right? So mm-hmm. I spent first 5 years in a global company, realized that wasn't for me, the rest of my career in smaller and mid-sized companies, and for 25 or so years of that leading HR until earlier this month when I left the corporate world and decided to go out on my own. So that was something that I had long planned, but accelerated that for a lot of different reasons. And we'll talk about a lot of that today.
Yes.
Yeah. So many of us think about it because we all think the grass will be greener and, you know, all that stuff. And you want to do cool things and not necessarily get, you know, pulled into the suck of HR, that a daily HR job, you know, some of that, you know, but anyway, it's different for everybody. And tons of people do it or think about doing it, but not that many actually do. As Robin wrote in the show notes, you left Cubicle World. So congratulations, first of all, on that.
And you're
opening your own consulting business. And what are you? Do you have a name for the business or is it just Tracy?
I have a name, but it is just Tracy Spottenberg LLC. I thought a lot about that. And because I just love the work and it's literally just me, I didn't want to spend thousands of dollars and lots of time coming up with a cute name when it's just going to be me. So I decided on that. I could always change it later if I needed to.
It's interesting. I'm diverging at the very opening. We do this. I work with a lot of consultants because I'm in a consulting firm, although I'm not a consultant, but I
Right.
work in a consulting firm and I know a bunch of other consultants, and there are people who have, logos and, fancy websites, and then there are others who just have like an AOL account, and
Yep.
it,
Right.
and
Yeah.
yet they make it work, So it so we want to talk about that, I guess.
Yeah.
But we'll get into some of that. But so there are so many people who want to do it. You made the leap. I know it's brand new journey, but what made you decide it was time? How did you know this was the right time?
I think and I also, because we know a lot of the same people, know a lot of people who are either doing this or thinking about this. And I had dozens and dozens and dozens of people reach out after I announced it. And so years ago, gosh, probably in the middle of COVID, I had my mother died, which is a catalyst. Well, it was. I know exactly when she died. It sounds like I didn't. I do. It was in the middle of COVID and or the beginning of COVID. And she was young. She had a youngish, had a wonderful life, and that was a big catalyst for me because I was so busy all the time, because I ran COVID response for my in-person company with 50 locations and essential workers and all of that, and I just couldn't stop and take a breath. And I kind of got through that, and I really my grief was very delayed because I was so busy all the time, and I kind of thought, there's got to be a better way than I'm just kind of plugging away. I never thought until COVID that I would do anything other than work till I was 65, 67 in a corporate job. Never thought about that. So I got perspective there. And then we had, our youngest daughter went through some mental health struggles, and we had several people who were very young, very close in our families, die suddenly. And so that puts more perspective. And so I planned an exit. So I planned, an exit roughly with the exit. My company's was private equity, roughly to that, going, I can hang out for 3 more years or so, and that'll be great. And then what I found out was I really couldn't hang out for 3 or 4 years, because once you decide, like, I'm going to do this in the future, and you see and you start thinking and planning, it's really hard not to do that sooner.
So I don't really have a question here. I'll throw it over to you in a second,
Yeah.
Robin, but an observation. Since the pandemic, every show we talk about COVID still.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, and obviously it hasn't like gone away. It's receded, but it's still around. But it's amazing how much impact that year had on so many different people. And
Yeah.
I'm starting to yearn for the day when we don't have that as a regular
I
topic
know.
on the show. But it was transformative in a bunch of ways, and some good, some bad, right? But it changed a lot of people's
Yeah.
priorities. And so I think that's really important, as you're looking
Yeah.
at this. This isn't an emotional, I guess, Tracy, I one follow-up question.
Yeah.
It's not really an
Yeah.
emotional decision, right? I mean, it's driven by a variety of different factors. You outlined some of
Yeah.
them, but this isn't something you should do like on this because you're frustrated at with work or
No.
whatever.
No, so I don't think I know anybody who hasn't changed jobs in the last few years, at least at an HR leadership level. I've thought about that. I really think that everybody I know has changed jobs for one reason or another. I went through a really bad burnout, and I stayed at my company. And it was important to me because I knew it would just follow me wherever I went, and I had open and honest discussions with my boss, and it was important to me when I did leave, that I left in, I mean, I guess it's positive is a word, but I left in a good frame of mind, that I wasn't, that I was leaving, I wasn't running away, that I was running to something. And that was really, really important to me, because I think a lot of people, you can kind of bucket in, people are running away or people are running to. And I think more people do this when they're running away. No fault of, maybe they got laid off, maybe they have a toxic boss, maybe they have a toxic company. That wasn't my situation. I was really running to, and I really, I'm so super practical and risk averse that, like, I had 11 ducks in a row before I would even consider leaving. So, but I think a lot about, I have several friends who helped along this journey. One of them, my friend Josh Dreen, I had lunch with him early last year, and he's like, Josh, he's wonderful, and he's helping me with my website, which is pretty crappy right now, but he really has pushed me along because he saw something in me early on or years ago that I didn't see in myself, and we've stayed friends. And he said to me, "Do you want to stay and build, or do you want to leave and build? Because you can't just do nothing." And that's what I was doing. I was talking a lot about what I wanted to do, but I wasn't doing anything about it. And I thought about that conversation a lot. And ultimately, I decided I wanted to leave, have that fractional piece, and then figure out the rest along the way.
And I think the thing that's interesting to me, and it's apparent from your public musings on it, really as well, is it looks to me that you were so thoughtful about leaving your team that you left in a really good place as well. How did I'm diverging as well from like I thought of this, but
How did that go?
how did that go? How did you prepare them as opposed to preparing yourself or preparing the rest of the company?
I actually think some of them are still mad at me, honestly, because I had a planned exit. So I had a planned exit in a few years. My CEO knew, he was super supportive, my team knew. And then, things happened and I decided to accelerate it. And my husband also wanted to, he was a consultant for 10 years, a CFO consultant, wanted to go back for some reason into the corporate world, nonprofit world is his specialty. So that allowed me that flexibility to think about it then instead of, down the road. And so my first conversation, I remember this clearly, the night I decided, talked to my husband. So my husband was the first conversation. I'm like, okay, this is, I want to do this. Was my, at the time, people experience director. So she was the person I was working with to step into my role one day down the road. I said, I'm thinking of this. What do you think? And it was important to me that she didn't feel abandoned and that she felt ready enough. And she's like, well, we were at a conference and I had spoken about fractional being the future of HR. And she's like, when you said that on that panel,
She
I
knew.
thought of you. She's like, I knew. And so it was important to me to have that. And then I had the conversation with my boss a few weeks later, once I was kind of definitely going to do it. I almost threw up and he's like, I'm disappointed, but I'm so happy for you. And he gave me a big hug. And so, I think I was very thoughtful about doing that. I think there are a couple of people on the team that do feel abandoned, and I understand that because I was going to be there and do this and do that. But ultimately, I made the decision for me. You have to, it was important to me, but I'm more important. So that was the ultimate decision. I had to do it for me.
I want to go back to the opening a business piece of it, which we talked a little bit about websites and forming your LLC and all that kind of fun stuff that we go through, which is a never-ending journey. And again, you're in the infancy stages of it, certainly. But what have you learned, sort of on that business side of setting up shop? We talked about website. What how to set my business up? How do I invoice? All that kind of stuff.
I learned that I'm notoriously bad at submitting expense reports on time. I always was. And that did not go away even when it was my own business. So I actually know myself pretty well in that regard and tried to do everything that I could to set things up as easy as I could. So I got QuickBooks that imports things that I invoice right through there. It was also important for me to go paperless. So, I got an iPad where I can take notes on it there and it converts it into text. And so one of the things I really thought hard about is how do I make it easy for me to do the aspects of running a business. And I'm fortunate because my husband's done it. He's also an accountant CFO, so he knows that side of things. So any questions I have there, but I think it's that that financial piece, like, I mean, I got to put what aside for taxes, and I've got to do this, and the paycheck, when the paycheck stopped coming every Friday, that was something to get used to, right? And chasing, potentially chasing people down for invoices. So there's a real, it's a real shift, because you don't, that's how you get paid, by doing that work, but you don't get paid the same way. And so that was a real different shift for me.
It's that kind of stuff is crazy. That the business side stuff is practical, right? It's time to file an expense report so I get my money back so I can travel again and not have it carried on my Amex or whatever. But there's a passion that drives this, and I know I've always been impressed with your focus on leadership and the kind of the way you've brought knowledge to the HR profession, which is something we strive to do here. So that like this is a big new step, but what made you passionate about taking it? You said you had a planned exit and you kind of backed up from it. What got you there now?
I it was partly I just couldn't do plan for what I wanted to do and move forward. It was partly it was just like a good time at the company. My person was ready to step in, and from our family perspective, it worked out well with my husband really wanting to go back, and the practicality of what we learned over the past 10 years is, wow, it's really nice for somebody to be home when the plumber comes over, right? Because he's half his right, just stuff like silly stuff like that. And it just was, it was the right time, and I really wanted to leave when I felt good and largely happy, and I did not want to leave and be miserable. And so, that was so unbelievably important to me. And I didn't want to burn out again, because that was horrible. And so, that was sort of the driving factor. And as far as what I want to do, I spent years resisting, like, being the person that a recruiter would call when there was some sort of head of HR role at a construction company or a manufacturer, right? And then I decided to just lean into that. And well, that's what I do. I work with large hourly workforces, and I love it. I love the companies and the teams. I love when I was at my client, just hanging out in the lunchroom with a couple of guys from second shift and learning what about them, right? And so I love that. So I decided to make that my focus, and I decided to focus on distribution, manufacturing, similar types of industries, because the world's changing, HR is changing, HR has changed a lot. Those industries, it tends to lag behind. And so, my client is a really progressive company for the industry, but their HR department needs some help, putting some things in place to kind of bring them to match. And I think what happens a lot is, in companies in those industries that experience a lot of growth, somebody 10, 12, 15, 20 years ago, fell into HR. They were, somebody's friend, or they were this, and wonderful people, but didn't get the training and development necessarily that they needed, because nobody knew what HR did. And then here you are years later. And so what I want to do, and I originally thought of doing something different, but fractional was a great way in. What I'm going to do is go in and work with those teams. And what I talk about is, I really want to get CEOs in these kinds of companies to see the incredible value in HR, and I want to get HR to see the value in themselves, and kind of marry that together and bring these companies forward. Because when you have a really, I don't want to say progressive, but you have an HR team that has the tools and the knowledge, in a construction company, a manufacturer, a distributor like this one, that you do in a tech company, a startup, whatever, there's no reason that experience that people have can't be as amazing. It's different. It's different if you're in the warehouse than if you're in a cube or working from home. It's different. but it can be really great. And so that's really what I'm trying to focus on and that part of the business. And then there's some advising and some speaking, but that's the biggest chunk of what I'm doing.
I know we're going to probably go long on this show because it's such a fascinating conversation. I have two questions. I'll give them to both to you, and you can answer them whichever order you want. One is expand on the panel statement you made, which is that the future of HR is fractional. I'd like to know what you think that looks like. And the second thing is, I know you had a really great relationship with your CEO at Granite. How do you translate that over now? How do you, I mean, how do you foresee working that? Because it's different than having a
And
long lasting
replicate that,
relationship.
yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, those two.
Yeah. Yeah, so start the future is fractional. I last summer when I thought that I might want to make a leap at some point sooner, I hired a fractional coach. I didn't even really understand what fractional was. And the way I look at fractional, the way I've learned from some of my friends, is you're a fractional. It's a fraction of your time where I'm doing the same things as a chief people officer, but I'm doing them for 20 hours a week as opposed to, I mean, what, 60,
70.
whatever it was, right? 70, yeah, 125, whatever it was, right? So I'm doing it for a fraction of the time. And when you break that down, when you break down the tasks and you break down really what a person does and or what I did, what you get at that 20 hours is the best of somebody in that CPO role. So you get somebody who's a thought partner, you get somebody who's a strategic thinker and a strategic leader, you get someone who is, you know, a visionary and a leader, right? And I found over time that's the stuff that I like to do, right? And so I'm largely out of the day-to-day. I'm still kind of in a little bit here and there, but it allows me to really focus on those things. And especially in companies like that, that's what they need. And so when I was on the panel, I hired a coach, Inessa Fike. She's wonderful. And I learned a lot from her and I learned to be ready. I wanted to be prepared to go out. And really, we're seeing this more and more. And I think the reason I said for HR, the future is fractional, is a couple of things. You know, you can have a 20-hour week, a 10-hour week, a 5-hour week thought partner helping move the company forward, helping, you know, get that people vision marrying with the company vision, the company mission, right? You can help moving those values forward. You can help connect the people strategy with the business strategy and make sure the company is profitable and that people experience is wonderful at the same time. So you can do that on a part-time basis. And so that's one reason you actually can. The other reason is so many talented people have had enough of corporate. It is extraordinarily hard to find a job. It's also extraordinarily hard to find a strategic, I hate the word strategic, but you know what I mean, a people leader, a CPO, whatever. Really hard to find that good fit for the business or that culture add for the business. So I think we're going to see people going, you know what? I don't find that person, that chief people officer, the chief HR officer, that is going to take us to the next level. So maybe I'm going to look at somebody who's, you know, not what I initially thought. And I think we're going to see that all across. I think we're people don't even I'm in my 50s, like people like me don't want to work for the same company. A lot of people don't want to work for the same company all week. They want to do different things. And so that was part one. And what was part two, Michael?
Part
Sorry,
two
I went off
was
like for 10 minutes on that. So
No, it was great. Working with the CEO in the new role, how do you build that rapport that you had that matches what you left, so to speak?
So I had a great relationship with my boss, and at times we did not agree, and at times we didn't get along, and it was a long path to our relationship developing, and but I we did. I mean, I had that relationship that people really want and people rarely get, and because of that, he's gonna remain a friend. I mean, we talked a week ago or so, and he's like, you know, we'll continue to grab coffee and we'll continue. I mean, we'll see, but I really think we will because we did have that kind of relationship. And so this CEO, that he was my basically, I get a random text one day from the CEO, like, hi, I got your number from a mutual friend of ours. Do you have a few minutes to talk? And I'm thinking it's like, what's good look like in the distribution space in HR? Because I've had those conversations before. And so we got on a Zoom and he's like, I hear you're going to start your own business in a few years, because it was at that point. And he's like, I want to be your first client. And I thought, well, that's kind of cool. But it was something really small that over time and conversations turned into what it is now. And I think, building that relationship with him, with the extend, the executive team, with the HR team, is just, being patient, being there, showing up, building trust. I mean, doing all the things that you do to build a relationship over time, and not, expecting, because I'm coming in and I'm telling people how their jobs are going to change. And I was on site last week. I wasn't going to do that last week. I did a few times. I went, I mean, you do what? And I had to like put, stop. I was trying to just kind of listen, and I'm really kind of geared toward action. So I had to kind of slow down and make sure I wasn't scaring them, right? And so yeah, it takes time to build trust, and I'm trying to do it quickly here though. So that's the difference. I think you don't have a lot of time to waste. So I think I have a great relationship with the CEO already, and I think everything else will come in time as I get to know people, because I've spent a little time with him over the past several months, so I feel a little bit more comfortable. But
Thanks.
it'll come.
I really like the phrase you used, because I think it's a really good way of putting it, which is your CPO, whether fractional or not, can be your thought partner. That's the phrase I like. Thought partner versus your strategic partner. There's the S word, right? Strategic partner, strategic leader. Because I think that that concept is so critical, and so critical for HR professionals who want to move into leadership roles, or even don't want to be move into leadership roles, but want to be a deep dive specialist in HR, or pick a profession, right? Not just HR, but that be a thought. And again, I don't want to use the word thought leader, because that annoys the crap out of me
Oh,
too,
I
but
hate that word. Yeah, I
a
know.
thought partner to me is it ties right into that. What's that relationship with the CEO, with the other executive leaders, with the department heads, whomever, where it's asking the right questions, and then it's bringing new ideas. It's bringing, this is what I've learned from my experience, this is what's happening out in the world. And especially when I think of a number of industries, but certainly the one you're focusing on, because I've spent my time in that world as well, it is really all about, here are the possibilities, and I want to share them with you. And I'm bringing, because what you're bringing is that expertise and that knowledge and that curiosity, and you really want to get others excited about that. Yeah, I'm
And
gonna cut
that.
work with Tracy now or something. I don't know.
No, that's a potential future plan, by the
There we
way.
go.
So, So we almost bought a consulting business, a very tiny one, a little while ago, but that's part two of the discussion when we get there. We'll have that
There we
someday in
go.
the future.
I
But
will.
yeah, I think about this a lot. So that relationship's so critical, and whether you're CPO, CHRO, head of HR in some way, like, who else can your CEO get vulnerable with? And who else can your CEO share their fears? And, who else will tell that CEO? Because generally people don't do it. You're wrong. You need to rethink this, and not be afraid to do that. And I was afraid to do that for like decades and decades. I'm not now. And one of the things, I had breakfast with my CEO last week, and he's like, you're not intimidated by me, because I think a lot of people are
Yes.
intimidated by CEOs. I'm like, no. And I'm thinking, like, I'm just too old to be, not that, I'm just like, I used to be intimidated by everyone and everything. And like, what does that get me now?
Yeah.
But it is a different sort of feeling going in as an, I don't like this word either, but an expert. Like, I'm an outsider coming in saying, show it, like you said, Robin, showing the way. Here's the way we could do things, right? Here's the way. Here's a potential way that looks different and feels different to that my client than it if I were there for 10 years, right? So I can do things as a fractional executive that I couldn't do as an in-house person. Really, that's unfortunately just the way it is. Somebody coming in from outside is perceived with more expertise, even though I don't have any more than I did last month.
I always like the word, I will tend to consider myself more an advisor than a consultant, even, right? You know, when we're working with people, I'm here to give you advice. I'm here to give you ideas. I'm here to bounce things around, you know, and advise.
And that's what I love. That's actually where I thought I was going to do. And that's what I'm doing for my old company, right? It's just an advisory relationship, because that's kind of fun, right? This is a little, this is definitely a CPO role, but that can look very different too. And that's another part of really what I want to learn more about. Sorry, Michael, I'll cut you off.
No, no, it's fine. We're running up against time, and we've kind of talked our way out of the order of questions. So I'll throw you one. I'll throw you one last question, and then Robin can wrap us up. You know, we talked at the beginning about everybody thinks about this a lot. You're doing it, just starting, et cetera. But what advice do you have for HR professionals or those outside HR who might want to go this route? What kind of wisdom you want to share there to close us out?
Yeah, I think it sounds great from the outside, right? I can do this. I can work for myself. The thing that tripped me up the most, and still I'm afraid of, I've got a long relationship with this client, right? Business development. So you can think, you know, it's great, right? It's great. I can go work. But if you're a one person show, you're going to have to find clients. And that part isn't really easy at all. For some people, maybe it is. For me, it's hard. I don't like to ask for things I don't want. So I'm still kind of figuring that out. So if I could give one piece of advice to people considering this, is talk to, and I did do this, as many people as you can who've done that. I have found anyway that people are like, I have a follow-up call with a woman who I know, and Angela Howard, and she's wonderful. And she's like, you know, I'll talk to you about business development. And, you know, even things like that, that are, she could technically be a competitor, right? She does more, she does different kind of work now, but she has done similar work to me. Even people who could be your competitor will probably share that with you. I'll share it with any, I've sent people my contract. I've sent people like anything like that. Talk to as many people as you can and get some advice. I would consider hiring a coach, whether it's a NASA or somebody else in the fractional space. I didn't know how to do anything. So just the practicalities of laying that out was enormously helpful to me. So, but I'm a very like, I need everything in a row type of person, but talk to people, you know, get some advice, think a lot before you leap, and have that business development piece. How are you going to do that? Have it either nailed down or at least a plan to do that.
Yeah. Love it. Oh, what a great and fast and all of a sudden we're done conversation today. Want to thank you, Tracy, for joining us on Drive Through HR. And as we segue off into the sunset, where can folks connect with you? Where are you hanging out online, and how can they reach you?
I think I'm the only Tracy Spottenberg on LinkedIn still. There may be someday another one, but as of now, so that's a great way. Everything is Tracy with an IE. Spon, Spon on X or Twitter or whatever we're calling it these days, Instagram. But LinkedIn's probably the best way to reach me.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
Awesome. Yeah, I love the conversation. Thanks for doing it.
Well, thank you both for having me. I'm so excited. I'm a fan of both of yours and for years and years. So and I've met both of you in person, Michael. It's
That's
been a
right.
while, but Robin and I met last year. So it's kind of neat. And I was really thrilled to be here. So thank you very much.
Good. Well, thank you. Thanks, everybody, for listening to Drive Through HR, and have a great day.